Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we are talking about planting your own food and the nutritional benefits of homegrown foods. And with me today from the Utah Department of Health, Laura Holtrup-Cole and Judy Harris, both public health nutritionists. And thanks so much to both of you for being here today. Let's just begin, and maybe Judy, I'll have you begin here, and let's just talk about this trend that we're seeing. People are stuck in their homes. They're excited about planting food, which I just think is awesome. We should all be doing this anyway. In my mind, I'm just such an avid gardener. But just talk for just a second, both of you, you know, about the nutritional benefits of growing your food rather than buying it from the grocery store.
Probably the biggest novelty, I think, is you have access to it in a timely manner. So by that, you have access to the fresh nutrition, the fresh foods, the benefits of just having access in your own backyard makes it more available to have that, you know, for our bodies. I think we can get the nutritious foods in the grocery stores, in the farmers markets. We can grow them. There's lots of ways to get it, but having them at home, I think, makes it more fun that you can actually pick it when it's ripe, and then it's probably at its optimal nutritional value at that point. But most importantly, you can go in your backyard and grab it, you know, for your dinner table.
Yeah, I would add that it often tastes better. I'm continually, I don't know if you have the same thing, Maria, but I continually, when I try to grow new vegetables, I'm always surprised that, oh yeah, this tastes much better than what I'm buying at the grocery store. And I think a lot of that is because it is fresh. And so if food's going to taste better, we're going to eat more of it.
Right. Tomatoes for me are the key example. I have a really difficult time buying tomatoes at the grocery store. When you compare them to my homegrown tomatoes, they taste waxy. So I'm always trying to get those tomatoes in the ground as soon as I can to make sure that I can get them as soon as I can. And it's not fall before I'm getting all the tomatoes.
I would like to add that tomatoes are my number one. And I always refer to them as waxy. Exactly. They taste plasticky. They don't taste because I have to ship them, you know, when they're not at their optimal, you know, time. No, they're still unripened. And I wanted to mention too that there's a lot of good research that talks about kids, when the kids are involved in producing their own gardens, that they're much more likely to enjoy it and eat it and ask for it. So that's a huge benefit for your family.
You guys have been collaborating. I know you put together a list of nutritional items that you can plant yourself that are easy to plant. What would you say? What's the top on your list? I mean, I mentioned tomatoes, but what is the top on your list as far as planting? Would it be kale? Judy, go ahead and start. What would be your favorite?
Oh, wow. Well, tomatoes definitely are my favorite. I probably got about 6 or 7 different varieties, from the little tiny, you know, pear or cherry tomatoes to the big beefsteak. So I have a whole variety of tomatoes, but I like to suggest for people that are growing gardens to do the, you know, or just starting out, to make sure you're using the ones that are like the ones that you like for number one yourself, but also ones that are really hardy and durable and are resistant to screw ups, right? You know, they're no brainers. The zucchinis, the yellow squashes, most of the squashes, tomatoes, those are all, you know, cucumbers, those are all easy ones to do. You don't have to worry about the pests so much. They're hardy. You know, they'll be forgiving with the water and sun conditions for the most part. So I like to say that, you know, it's something that you really enjoy, and try to stick with the hardy ones.
You can't really be a good homegrown tomato. I also always grow kale because I find that it's one of the easier to grow, and it's very, very nutritious. So if you eat it, I definitely recommend growing it. There's all sorts of different kinds, and it's so much sweeter when you grow it yourself, and you can eat it fresh and when it's still small. Later in the summer, it might get some aphids, but you can always wash those off.
I think
appetizing as that sounds.
Yeah, I think kale's an important one to talk about because of the nutritional benefits, but also because it's one a lot of people avoid because it can be a little bit more bitter when you buy it in the grocery store. It can be a little bit tough, but you're saying when you grow it, it's a different story.
Yes, I do. Especially if you make sure that you keep up on harvesting it when it's small. So if the leaves are just a few inches tall, that's when it's going to be its sweetest.
Right.
And unlike spinach, I have poor luck with spinach, and it generally tends to grow slowly, and it'll bolt quickly, which means it flowers and then it doesn't taste as good. But kale doesn't bolt. Kale will last through the summer. It doesn't mind the heat.
So what is your favorite variety of kale?
Oh, funny you ask. Right now, I'm growing red Russian kale. Though I'd say that's probably my favorite. It has really pretty frilly edges. But I also really like the dinosaur kale, which, it's called dinosaur kale because it looks like dinosaur skin.
Wanted to talk about the health benefits of the two things that we are to have talked about. So the first one being tomatoes.
Gotcha.
Why grow
Okay.
tomatoes?
Well, like any vegetable, tomatoes are always good to have in your diet, and almost all of us don't get enough vegetables. So, before you start really judging one over the other, I think it's important just to get more vegetables that you're going to eat. But to pick tomatoes specifically are high in lycopene, which can help prevent some certain types of cancer. And a fun fact about lycopene is it's more available to us in our bodies after the tomatoes have been cooked. So it's a good thing to cook your tomatoes, but fresh tomatoes are also really, really healthy.
Okay. Any fun facts about kale?
Oh, so many fun facts about kale.
It's your favorite.
Kale has several days worth of iron and folate, and it even has a little bit of calcium.
Wow.
So iron and folate are really important for women's health because women tend to have low iron levels. And folate's important for women who may get pregnant because it's important for the development of the baby.
Oh, let me just also mention, I love that Laura mentioned that the folate, and that's where you need to have it, really prenatally before you get pregnant. It's really early on in your pregnancy to have that in your diet. So that's a good one. And I love the idea that we're doing more of these leafy products in our garden that we can do in higher volumes. So we do kale salads, we do smoothies with kale, and those tender leaves just are so, palatable and enjoyable in the from the garden when, and you can put wilted dressings over them, and then you can eat a lot more of them so we can get more of those nutrients in our bodies.
We mentioned zucchini at the very beginning. Let's talk about zucchini. Zucchini definitely is one of the easier vegetables to grow.
Yes, and I really like what Laura said about getting lots of fruits and vegetables on your plate. Sometimes people don't love my plate, but I think my plate is just a really good visual to look at your plate and say half of your plate should really be fruits and vegetables. And right now for seasonal time and when you have the gardens out, I love to have my lunches and dinners just half the plate or sometimes three quarters of the plate. And then I maybe add some rice and beans or something and very small protein, animal protein if I use any at all, or fish protein. But really keeping the concept and our eye on the prize is the produce, the vegetables. And zucchini is one of the great ones that grow easily. Harvest them before they get too big because then they'll get seedy and they'll get a little bit, quirky. You don't want the big ones. People always are sharing their extra zucchinis, but they're, 2 feet long, So harvest them early. And then I just love slicing them up and putting some little bit of salt and pepper. I love to use my ground pepper, so it just has a nice fresh taste. And you can experiment with different types of salts, but not too much. And if you want to add extra herbs, or for seasoning, that's fine. And just grilling them, I just think that's like one of the greatest tastes is your bounty of your zucchini and your squashes and your eggplant. Oh my goodness, I love eggplant grilled.
Okay, I've never planted eggplant.
Oh, I have two of them. I usually do a Japanese version, one or two Japanese versions, and then I tried something else, a millionaire. I don't know how that's gonna go, but that's what the nursery had. So they don't produce as much. That's why I always do two. So I've got some, coming.
Judy's description of zucchini and eggplants got my mouth watering. But one of my favorite things in the summer to do with zucchini is spiralize it. So it's like into those little noodles, and then instead of cooking it in pasta sauce, which is, in my opinion, doesn't work very well, I like to keep it raw and then drizzle it with a little garlic olive oil or flavored olive oil and throw some almond slivers on it, and that just like that is a really great side dish for summer.
Right. So not cooked, just spiralized, a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper and Okay, now our mouths are all watering.
I know.
I get stuck on zucchini. What are some other squashes that people could plant that would really benefit them?
Can I mention the
Oh,
spaghetti
sure.
squash on the same note
Yeah,
with the
yeah.
spiralized? Because I don't like putting it in the sauce either, Laura. I agree with you. I like to just maybe blanch it really. If I, it depends on how thin or thick the spiralized squash is, because if it's thicker, then it might be a little bit too heavy. But if I just blanch it very quickly and then I pour like a tomato spaghetti squash over it, it's usually, I usually don't put meat in it, but just more of a tomato based spaghetti sauce with lots of flavoring, and put that over it. And that's a great way to reduce calories and bump up your nutritional value of your meal by just having the produce in there versus the pasta. And if you want to do a little bit of pasta, that's another, baby step towards, maybe that extreme, but maybe just a half a cup of pasta on your plate, and then have the rest of it beaming and overflowing with the spiralized squashes. And the same thing with the spaghetti squash. Those are so much fun for the kids too. You just rake it with a fork after it's cooked. You cut it in half and you just, pull all that spaghetti out, and it's so much fun for kids. And that also is your bed for your spaghetti sauce.
Zucchini is great also. It's just plain and simple sautéed or stir-fried. And it's also really good in soups, like a light summer soup. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I took out some frozen zucchini that I had grated and frozen, and I put it in pancakes. And I also made, of course, some zucchini bread.
Right. You have to. That's at the end of the season, I have to grate a lot to make sure that I can have zucchini bread in the winter as well as just in the fall. Because otherwise you
Right.
just get overwhelmed with the same foods, right? So it's nice to be able to preserve them and save them so you have them in the middle of winter.
Definitely. And then you asked about other squashes, and I think we forget about other squashes, especially like the winter squashes that do store so much better than the summer squashes like zucchini and yellow squash. And they tend to be a little more colorful. So some of them are orange, like acorn squash, yellowish orange. And so that's a whole nother group of vitamins that we're going to be getting. So it's important to have variety in our garden, and try different things.
Right. I wish my garden was larger. I have noticed now, though, that people are really mixing in their vegetables in their flower beds, which I think is an interesting concept.
Definitely. And I'm seeing more and more plants in front yards, which is fun.
Yeah, kind of mixing in the big zucchini vines in with the flower bed. They're actually quite pretty. I mean, if you do it right, they look nice instead of just like taking over everything.
Really, it's any place or space that you have in your yard or business that you could do a community garden as well, or go to your community garden. Don't forget those. Those are great places, or you can even start them. So your business, has some extra space, that might be something that you want to look at, amending the soil a little bit, preparing it, and having it accessible at your workplace. We're not at a workplace now, so I think what was mentioned, Laura, too, that any place that you can find a spot, whether it's alongside of your house that was a previous flower bed, or just a planter area, or maybe your shrubs have died, you could convert that over. And I also wanted to mention, I love doing the vertical gardening. I bought what I find to be the most successful for myself versus some of the cages. I know those large tomato cages that are very sturdy, but they are a little bit pricey. Are probably the better way for some of these tomatoes. But I have gone to the cattle panels, and you can buy them in, they're like 16 foot length, so they're pretty long. But if you buy them at a feed store, they'll cut them for you to your size. You can also do an arch where you basically just stake each end and you just arch it over. And all you're really needing is one solid stake, like a 6 foot stake at both ends, and then you arch it over. And any of those squashes that have those little tendrils, they'll just do their own climbing. If they're larger, like a spaghetti squash, you might have to support them by using a bag of some sort, like a produce bag or something, because the weight will be too heavy and they'll snap off before they're ripe and ready. But most of the cucumbers and of course, the pole beans that are going to continue to proliferate through the season, those are some of the things that will just go beautifully, vertically up. It saves you space. It gets it off the ground so it doesn't have access to diseases or moisture or bugs. It looks decorative. It's space saving, if I didn't say that. I don't know. There's just such great benefits. It's easy to pick because it's, up versus down underneath all the leaves, and you don't find them until they're rotten. So I love vertical gardening in that aspect.
Maybe I could get some final comments from each of you, advice to people when they're planning a vegetable garden or really thinking about gardening this summer.
I just changed my garden this year. So I put in a raised bed. So what I really decided to do after having many different types of vegetable beds, I agree. You really want to start small and see what is doable, what you can manage. So I did a raised bed with 6 foot planks and used the little cinder block kind of things that you get for the corner pieces. They have the cross pieces where the boards just slide in, so it's much easier than trying to build it yourself. So you just stack those too high, so you have a 1 foot bed. And then I think it's really important to prepare the soil. So it's an easy mixture of, you can look it up what the recipe is, but you're basically putting in the vermiculite or the perlite type soil. Then you use peat moss, and then you use manure. And I'm missing the other one, but it's a simple recipe. But you want to really make sure that you've got the composition nicely prepared. I think that's a lot of it. And there is a cost when you first set it up, so be prepared on that. Laura and I were talking earlier this morning, and it might be a little bit later to start some of your items, but if you can get them in the nursery that are they're already established or larger. Or even if you go in the grocery store, the basil, it's cheaper to buy basil in the plant. It's a couple few bucks versus if you buy just the cut leaves of basil that you're getting, hanging on the produce shelf. So buy the plant and then, stick it in the ground, and it should, do pretty well where you can actually have it grow fairly nicely, for the rest of the summer and into the, late in the summer.
And I would add, I think of rookie mistakes that are easy to make. I would say one is not reading the directions on the seed packets and planting things either too deep or too close together. You don't need a whole lot of seeds, and you don't have to use the whole seed packet. And then secondly is really think about how you're going to water your garden, and read up on how much water it needs and how frequently. A lot of plants do better with, only being watered a few times a week, but more deeply, rather than every day.
One thing that I have done better in the pandemic that I haven't done before, I have adult children, so I've asked them to join us for Sunday dinner at 4, and I'm trying to get out of the rut. Like, we cook the same foods over and over again. Oftentimes I'm in a hurry, so I don't go out to the garden and pick all of these fresh herbs that I have in my own yard, right? And I've really tried to stop and do different things and go out into my yard and actually pick all of these wonderful things that I grow instead of going, oh, I don't have time to go clip those right now. I'm trying to take the time to change the experience a bit.
Yeah, Maria, that you make a good point. Our backyard gardens are really accessible, but even that sometimes seems like, oh, it's too much. But they're a really great opportunity to help inspire us. You notice, oh my goodness, I have so much mint, or maybe you have whatever you have a lot of, it's a good time to try a new recipe.
I think my job this week is going to be trying to find recipes with lemon mint and chocolate mint just for fun, just to see what I can find. I love the fact that you can go online now and find recipes for everything. I have saved recipes for years, and I wanted to find a recipe that I had made, and I had to just go through all of these recipes that I've saved. And I know it's silly now because I can find most of them online, other than, your old time, your parents' favorites, or that you probably couldn't find online. But I think it's wonderful that it's easy for me to try new things. I just have to Google, hey, recipe with lemon mint, right?
Yeah, I try to go to, I love America's Test Kitchen because it is proven. It tells you exactly how to do something. So it's kind of idiot proof. You can go to something quick and it's proven, and they've done all the science behind it to kind of, what's the best way to boil an egg. I mean, it sounds silly, but and you get into that pattern. So if you're learning, if you're a new person in the kitchen or a young person, that's a great way to go by some of the get some of the basics under you. If get some of the fundamental things going so that you know some of the basics on roasting or broiling or baking, just some basic fundamentals on, and then you can transfer that or learn about flavor profiles. So I also like to think about foods in, do you like Mexican? Do you like the cumin? Do you like the jalapeno? Or do you need to go to a nadapino? What is that one? Nadapino? It's not as hot as a jalapeno, but it still has that pepper flavor. But, there's different things that you can look at for, if you're Italian, you're Greek, you love the olive oil. So get a really good olive oil and then use those foods that, or and herbs and spices that appeal to you and grow off of that. So try to find what's, I think, interesting to you. If the motivation is you've got the mint in the backyard, what a fun way. And, maybe encourage your adult children to go help harvest it. Have a really beautiful basket maybe, and that's by your back door, and that will entice you to take the dog out or take the cat out or take the child out and walk out in your back and harvest stuff. If you've got just a bunch of leafy stuff, I wanted to mention beets. Beets are kind of a twofer that I call, because when the beet is actually growing, you've got the beet greens
Which are
that we see slow
wonderful.
away. Yeah, and you can cut those up, and I love doing the wilted salad with that. If you don't like the red stems, you can take them off. But I mean, I actually just put the red stems when I cut them, and I just stick them in a little stack. I know it's kind of weird, and then I dip them in my hummus, and that's how I like to eat those leftovers that you wouldn't necessarily eat. And I actually will eat them as I'm preparing. I'll just kind of keep it on the side, and I'll be getting my lettuce together, and so I don't have the food
It's your
waste, and I'm
replacement
getting
for
the nutrients.
chips. That's it, Judy. That's your
Yeah.
replacement for
Oh,
chips, right?
Maria, that's great. I don't do chips. I how I eat, but anything that you would do chips with, use a coin, a vegetable coin. The green squash, you can get the golden, the excuse me, the zucchini squash, which is a green squash. They have the golden zucchini, which are those beautiful golden zucchinis, and they're easy to grow too. And then you've got cucumbers, and anything that you can coin up is your chip. And what a great way to get nutrients in your body. You feel good. You don't feel sluggish because you just had a bunch of sodium and fat. And you can eat unlimited amount. And if you're dipping it into something healthy like hummus, oh my gosh, chow down. No guilt.
I love it. Any final thoughts? Laura, do you have any final thoughts before I let the two of you go?
I just hope that people are really taking this time and enjoying exploring food and eating fresh out of their gardens or out of their local farmer's garden. There's the farmer's markets are opening up with precautionary measures, and so I encourage people to go check those out too.
Enjoy food. Enjoy food for the value and the taste and experience and the social aspect of it. We're going to be getting together more with, hopefully, with restrictions being less and less. And I think food is a great way to celebrate our friendships and our families and to just really enjoy healthy eating. And you'll feel better for it and it will taste amazing. And the more you get into these little changes of adding foods in, and be a catalyst for other people to enjoy that too. So enjoy.
Yeah, and let's not forget it makes us healthier and helps us fight off this pandemic, right?
Absolutely. Being healthier bodies helps us all the way through life.
Yep. Going back to the basics, is really what's going to keep us the healthiest.
All right. Thanks so much to both of you. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Maria.
Thanks, Maria. It was fun.